a big fault of sales professionals in general, but certainly in the real estate world, is that we go in with our own agenda and not trying to understand theirs and asking questions, because you don't know if it really is a interest rate, even though that could be that thing as you walk into the mall and you go, hey, Valerie, can I help you? I'm just looking. Well, I'm just looking is the same as the interest rates are high, I want to wait.
It could be, very much so. Yeah.
We just don't know, but you got to ask those additional questions.
And if they're not ready to buy, that's okay. But at least you have that conversation to uncover if they had any fears or other concerns. And then if you could help that person, that's even better.
Hey, Jack Lair down Lair's Lair. So I have a special guest all the way from San Diego. I'm excited to have Valerie Upham join us today on the Lair.
Thank you so much for having me today, Jack. This is awesome.
You know what's really special about today, Valerie?
What's that?
You're doing this as a warm-up. It should be the other way around for our friend Tom Ferry, because you're going to join him real soon, right?
Next week.
My goodness. Well, I'm excited for you to be on Tom's podcast with him. It's exciting to be in his room with him, for sure.
And it'll be my first podcast with him, so I'm really excited.
Good deal. Well, I'm super grateful that we get to do our first podcast together. Yeah. Yes. As a warm up for Mr. Tom Ferry. So you're in San Diego. And the interesting part was, like, Sarah and I were out in San Diego just recently, and we got to hang out a little bit. That was nice to see you. Yeah. And so, like, you've been in the industry for about how long?
So it'll be 20 years in February, the end of January.
Okay, very good. Like, what got you into real estate?
Oh, well, that's an interesting story. So I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, and I had a boyfriend in high school, and his mother was a real estate agent, and she was delightful. Like, everybody liked her. She was always happy, and they had a gorgeous home. And I remember thinking, I would love to have a home like this someday. And I was really impressed by her. Yeah. And so I'd always had an interest in real estate, but I never wanted to take the leap and have a commission-only job. And then I was pregnant with my daughter, my first child, and I got laid off from the travel industry because it was following 9/11. The whole travel industry disrupted. Yeah. And I was going to get my notary license and for my broker, lender. Okay. And he said, why don't you get your real estate license? And I thought, you know what? I've always had an interest in this. So I went for it. And 20 years later, here I am.
So did you get licensed out in Des Moines, or were you already in San Diego?
I was already in San Diego at that time. Yes.
Okay, very good. So you started out in that incredible market. And I just learned something when we were out there, is like, it's now the most expensive place to live in the entire United States.
It is. Yeah, we have the highest rents over Los Angeles and New York City. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's interesting. And,
it's not something I'm proud of. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who come here on vacation, like myself, and fall in love with San Diego. And that's what brought me to San Diego, was spring break when I was 21.
No kidding. So spring break, and then you said, I want to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And I really enjoy your town because the coast, and I mispronounced it when I was out there, but La Jolla, I really love that area.
Yeah, and I don't live far from La Jolla. It's about 5.5 miles from my house, and that's my favorite beach.
That is just a gorgeous spot. I love it. So out in San Diego, 20 years in the business, and then I think perhaps, like, you have a team, correct?
I do. Yeah, we have two agents on the team, and I have a full-time marketing assistant, Alyssa. So she does a great job with our social media, and I also have a virtual assistant, Jelly. Okay. And then we have a part-time assistant that really, she supports Alyssa and myself.
Okay. So I jumped ahead a little bit, but let's get back to the origin. Like, we met each other, I think in Las Vegas at a Tom Ferry event. And I remember Yvonne Arnold and Matt Farnham, a common friend, being there.
Absolutely. And you and Sarah were both there. We had a really great dinner on the Las Vegas Strip. Then also Andrea Ferry talked so highly about you. And so I'm like, wait, who's this Jack guy? And then you were at dinner. So it all worked out really well. And now I've run into you many times.
Yeah. And so Andrea Ferry, and we'll get into this a little bit because I think there's something pretty exciting that you've developed. Mm-hmm. We're going to save that just for a little bit though. Okay. So, but Andrea Ferry is a common friend and you guys did some training together and we all, that's kind of, again, talk about that in a sec.
Yeah. Well, on a different note for Andrea, Andrea does all the training for outside sales agents, inside sales agents, and I hired her to train our team for doing circle dialing and around our listings. And that was really exciting. She's one of the best.
Oh my gosh. I truly think that she's the best in the industry and to have her in our corner, in our world is just, wow, a true blessing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
She pays me highly, massively to make these nice comments about her, right? Andrea Ferry, I'm picking. Andrea Ferry Daniels. But anyway, so Valerie, let's get into this a little bit. So I think one of the things that you discovered in the last year or so was this gentleman by the name of Phil Jones, right?
Yeah, I did.
And exactly what to say. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I've been in Tom Ferry coaching for 10 years, over 10 years now. Okay. And he's brought in so many amazing people. Phil Jones spoke at the summit, which is Tom Ferry's biggest event, back in 22. And I left that event so pumped up because Phil spoke and he wrote the book, Exactly What to Say. And I downloaded the Audible on my phone and on the airplane, I was listening to it and I was typing all of his magic words or his phrases that we use in sales training, basically. And I was so excited by it. I wanted to create flashcards. So I was typing it all up. I sent it to my virtual assistant. Then I had these flashcards and it took a lot of work for me to type it up. And so after I did so, I realized that other people would probably find this information valuable. So I put my name on it so that I could share it and people would know where it came from. And as soon as I did that, I realized the information's copyrighted. I can't do that. So then there was a team event in San Diego and I had everything ready to go. And as soon as I saw Phil, I approached him and I told him the story and I asked his permission to hand out the flashcards. And there was, you know, each flashcard had a different question. And anyway, long story short, I am the co-founder of the Exactly What to Role Play cards.
Yes.
This is just partial deck. And so now everyone, this is a project that Phil and I are doing together. The cards we ordered 10,000 sets of cards and they're just leaving the factory today. So really, really excited. Those are going to be in people's homes very soon.
That's great. I think we should get into that a little bit deeper because at the event that you were given permission to hand them out, we connected and you shared them with me. So I brought it back to our team and we role played and gave some feedback. And I think it was just, so everybody used it a little bit different. Like there's suggested ways, mm-hmm. right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And that's kind of, they weren't meant to be used only in one way, right? Like you get a deck of regular playing cards and you can play multiple games. These are similar. So there's different, I'll kind of display the cards a little at a time here. There's different categories, things that as real estate agents and professionals that we deal with, right? Open houses, expired listings. And so all of those topics are addressed throughout the black set of the cards. And there are different scenarios and objections that we deal with all the time. So you meet somebody and they're interested in buying or selling, and then they say their relative or their friend is a real estate agent. And who doesn't know a real estate agent? So then we go to the perspective changers. These are all things that Phil teaches in his trainings. And this is not an ad for Phil, by the way. It's just, this is what he does. And it's beautiful. And I was fortunate enough to attend three of his trainings. So all of his, he calls magic words. How would you feel if, just imagine, you know, what is your experience with, help me understand, just out of curiosity. So all of these intros to conversations that you can have with your potential clients or existing clients can lead you through a conversation with them so that you can really uncover what it is that their goal is, and you can help them meet their goal. And so as real estate agents, we can use these cards with our teams or as individuals. And with your team. I don't know how you play. I'd love to hear, but you can take one objection every week and just get better at it. Or you can use one magic word phrase and just practice that one phrase the entire week. So how would you feel, Jack, if we were to role play right now? Or how would you feel about going to dinner Friday night? Or how would you feel if your house sat on the market the entire summer and you didn't get any offers? So you can play with just literally the one phrase the entire week, and you can be silly and you can be serious. But the point is to internalize the language so that it's natural when you talk to people.
I think that's the big piece of this, is making it natural versus just being super scripted. And I think the philosophy or the mentality of getting empathetically curious in all of the questions and the way we, you know, have a conversation with someone and asking and then closing this up and using these.
Yes, 100%. And so teams can play with the cards many different ways. I was on Mary Bartos has a huge team. I think she has 25 agents, but I could be wrong about that. She has a very large team. So I was on with her team through Zoom, and everybody, she just gave a scenario and everyone went around and answered the, you know, used a different phrase to deal with that objection. And it was great. They were just going back and forth. And that's really what we encourage people to do, is just internalize the language.
Am I able to put you on the spot? Here's the beautiful part about this podcast. It's produced. So if you see a cut, we both screwed up. So anyway, I'm picking. But like, you know, what folks are facing right now, like you're hearing the interest rate objections and things like that. Could we use some Phil Jones language to maybe deal with that?
Sure.
Okay.
You want to?
You have the cards. I mean, it's kind of fun.
You know, one of the, and I don't have it, you know, I wasn't ready for this particular question, but there's one here that pertains to interest rates. So you could have a buyer saying that we want to wait because interest rates are too high and we can't afford, you know. And so you can basically, you get into a conversation with that person, and you never, ever want to push somebody into a decision. The whole point of these cards is to come from a place of curiosity and uncover what their fear really is. Is it the payment? Is it that they don't want to look stupid to their friends because they purchased a home when the interest rates are the highest that they've been in a decade? Yeah. And so, but when you uncover the fact that maybe they can really afford the home, and or maybe they didn't know they could afford the home. So, you know, you could say, well, would it help if we talked a little bit more about, you know, what the interest rates are and what's possible? You know, how certain are you that you couldn't afford a home in today's market?
Right.
Is it possible that if you talk to one of my preferred lenders, that they could find an interest rate that could get you into the home that you want today? And then you could refinance, you know, when rates hopefully do come down. Could it be possible that rates are going to continue to go higher? And then you definitely won't ever be able to afford a home in San Diego. And then they could say, well, yeah, but home prices could come down. Maybe, you know, yeah, rates could go higher, but home prices could come down. You could say, well, that's true. That's very possible. And what if that doesn't happen? You know, so it's not about, again, pushing somebody into a corner to purchase or sell a home. It's about understanding where they're coming from. And through these questions, you know, what is your experience with buying a home? Is this your first time, or have you purchased in the past? And, you know, what is your experience with looking for homes? Maybe they were looking back in 21 when rates were 3-4%. And so they saw what they could afford, and now they don't like what they can afford. You know, so it's really understanding where they're coming from.
I think it's a big fault of sales professionals in general, but certainly in the real estate world, is that we go in with our own agenda and not trying to understand theirs and asking questions, because you don't know if it really is a interest rate, even though that could be that thing as you walk into the mall and you go, hey, Valerie, can I help you? I'm just looking. Well, I'm just looking is the same as the interest rates are high, I want to wait.
It could be, very much so. Yeah.
We just don't know, but you got to ask those additional questions.
And if they're not ready to buy, that's okay. But at least you have that conversation to uncover if they had any fears or other concerns. And then if you could help that person, that's even better.
There's a pathway to purchasing, and you can help them for those that aren't ready to buy. One thing that we've shared with, and I learned this from somebody out in your neck of the woods, was just like, if you have the homes that are on the market, like that's our inventory right now. It's not going to be adjusted massively by a lower interest rate or a higher interest rate. We have a certain amount of homes for sale. So we have a certain number of buyers in the 8%, 8.5% range. But just think about those folks that are outside this bubble that are waiting for the 6.5s to come back. Now, all of a sudden, you have all these people going after that same inventory. Guess what that does? Now you're getting 100,000 over ask, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really understanding where they're at.
I wish the government or the Fed, I wish they understood. No, this sounds crazy. I mean, I understand what the rates are based on, inflation, and you know, there's so many unemployment, and I get that. But sometimes through the years, I've seen rates adjusted at the worst times, and it just, the whole market has blown up. And now, like you said, when rates drop, everyone's going to run out in a frenzy. All the home values are going to be pushed up because of the supply and the demand, because there's hardly any inventory out there. Right. And then everyone's going to be in a bidding war again. And so I feel sorry for those potential buyers at that time, because some of them are going to be bid out of the market.
Yeah. And I don't make this political, and I make it very brand agnostic, but you know, we have elections coming up, and you know what happens in that world. Like, we've had such artificially low rates for so long, and then it just. But here's the fact is that the folks that need, want, and have to buy or sell, they're mm-hmm. still doing it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The you know, we always talk about the 70s, right? Mm-hmm. Divorce, diapers, diamonds, downsizing. What's the death? And then Tom always jokes, relocation's not a D. I forget what the seventh one is, but, right. But you get the point. When there are people who have life situations where they have to move and they're relocating for a job, unfortunately, if they're going through a divorce, and those people are always going to be moving, they may not be buying or selling, but they're going to be moving. And so it's our job as professionals to help them through that journey.
Most definitely. And so like, you're out in San Diego, you're part of the Tom Ferry Network, you're Phil Jones certified, correct?
Yes, I am.
And like, you're a certified agent. So you know how to have those types of conversations. But when you go to like these Tom Ferry events and other collaboration opportunities, are people reaching out to you and saying, oh my gosh, I saw your cards?
And yeah, it's fun. So the order form goes straight to Phil and myself. And so I get to see anytime an order comes through for the cards. It's really exciting. And then all of the social media posts as well. People are just so excited about receiving the cards. And people have been patient because we did a pre-launch on August 18th. Yeah. And then the cards have been in production. And so they're almost here. I'm excited. You know, I have my own set of cards, but they're not boxed. And so the ones that are coming from the factory are going to be completely packaged and beautiful, really excited. And then, like you said, when I do go to events, people are asking me about the cards and when are they arriving? So people are ready for them for sure.
They definitely are. And it's kind of funny because I've had multiple people that know that we either know each other. They saw us do a post on social media. They know that, you know, Phil's, we've done some posts together and he was on our podcast. And they come up and say, hey, I ordered these cards. Like, I haven't gotten them yet. I'm like, thank you. I have zero to do with this. So
you know how I feel.
poor Valerie. But they're on their way. Okay.
They are on their way. Yes. So I'm just overjoyed to get my own set.
And by the time this hits gets released, hopefully everybody has their cards and they can stop asking Valerie, but they can start asking you, how can I get more?
Yes. And how to use them. I mean, I'm happy to go on with somebody's team and do a training like through a Zoom. I'm in San Diego. If you're nearby and you want me to go in person, you know, somewhere along the coast in San Diego, or if I'm going to be in your town for one of the Tom Ferry events, that would be fun. Or if you just want to have a conversation, like One of the things I love most about the Tom Perry Network is that you can hear somebody speak on stage or you see somebody's post online. I pick up the phone and I'll call and I'll have a conversation with that real estate agent. Everyone is so receptive. I'm the same way. And I guess since I call people, it's because I'd be willing to take someone's call. You know, I want to help people through whatever their situation is, share my experience, hear what their experience is in real estate in general. And, you know, I specialize in working with seniors. I do a lot of events around my community. And so it's fun to share ideas and brainstorm. And I really love that. And it makes us all better.
I mean, I think that's what I wanted to transition into is like, you're definitely a community builder and you bring people together. So like in your market in San Diego, you had mentioned, you know, seniors are a big part of it. Like not just the 50 year olds, but the ones that are maybe a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit up there and you're there to help them. So yes. Talk a little bit about like how you help the seniors.
Yeah. So I refer to the seniors as older adults because seniors are, you know, ARP comes out at what, 50? And then a senior is somebody over 55, which to me is not a senior. And so I really look at the people who are 80 years old, people have been in their homes for 30 or 40 years, and they've, you know, raised their family there and they have all of this stuff, right? Things that somebody else might walk in their home and they look at as junk. Yeah. But those are memories to those people. And the process of going from that stage in their life to a smaller place and having to release all of their personal belongings can be very emotional. And you have to understand where they're coming from. So yes, they have a physical need to downsize, but often it isn't until somebody has a physical, either the home maintenance becomes too much, somebody dies, or somebody breaks a hip. I mean, it's something bad like that that typically drives people to do the downsizing. So I love working with people and kind of talking them through that process and just putting out there, like, you know, go through one drawer at a time, just start getting, donate your items that to a good cause. Like if you have shelves and shelves of books, you can donate those to libraries and to schools and clothes, right? There's people, there's the Dress for Success for the homeless people that people can use your clothes. And I know when my dad downsized from Iowa and he moved out to California, it took him 3.5 years. Now that's your worst case scenario, but he touched every single piece of paper, God bless him. But when he gave things away, they all had to have a purpose. He wouldn't just throw them away. So we found homes for all of the things, almost all of the things. And I think that when people know that what they're giving away is helping someone else, then they feel fulfilled. Yeah. And just understanding that. So that's that emotional, psychological process is part of the selling process. And most people overlook that. A lot of times people will not, I'm not saying all people, but there are some people who just think, okay, call me when you're ready to sell. And it's being there for those people and having the patience to just, you know, you're not there every single day, right? But just periodically touching base with them and walking them through the process.
I think that's a huge part is like, listening, asking the questions, because you just don't know where they're at. And like, you have that motherly approach for sure. That's the impression I get. But just think about that. Like, they're going through some serious stress. And so rarely are people excited ever about selling their home. Mm-hmm. It's either a stressful situation and they're moving on to something that they might be excited about or not excited about. And I just heard this recently. Most of the transactions that most real estate professionals, like most of them are real close to half of them are distressed. It doesn't mean you're behind on your mortgage. It means you're going through a divorce. There's a death in the family and there's a distress to moving. And it's really getting like you get super curious and you figure out what's going on in their world.
The biggest thing that I think blocks people from the big downsizing process is not only releasing their emotional, their memories, right? But even though they know that when they get to their next destination, they're going to be happier, it feels too heavy. But I'll tell you time and time again, when my clients do finally make it to their next home, they're like, oh, why didn't I do this sooner? And it's like, and I try to share that with people so that they know what's on the other side. But again, it's not always, you know, you can know you're supposed to do something and still not do it, right? There's many examples of that in my life.
Yeah, we all go through that. So we have parents who say, you know, Jack, if you just do this, Valerie, if you just do that, and then, you know, you're so much better. Or like somebody gets the knee surgery, and me specifically, I got both hips replaced, and I wish I would have done it a couple years earlier when it first started paining me. And everybody just about says, I wish I would have done it sooner.
Yeah.
So you can start living. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm listening.
Well, so I was just going to say about working with older adults is also working with their adult children. Mm. Oftentimes they're involved in the major decisions and they're protective, right? I remember when my parents were downsizing, when my dad was downsizing, you know, I was right there involved in the process. When my mom and my stepdad, you know, I would talk to them about getting their trust in place or their will. And so the adult children are really involved. And sometimes after some of my clients, you know, after a parent has passed, I'm also working with the adult children and selling the home. And oftentimes they live out of state or out of town. And so I will help them by giving them options of selling the home as is. And I work with investors that I can, you know, sell the home very quickly. But the majority of the time, most people are looking for the highest sales price, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I'll do is I'll come in, I'll get all the bids from my clients, painting, replacing the carpet, you know, getting the measurements for the carpet replacement, doing some fixture changes in the bathrooms. Even though buyers are looking for a remodeled kitchen and bathroom, if you clean the place up, the biggest return on investment is paint and carpet and staging. And so I'll do that with my clients. And then the adult children feel so good at the end because they see the home back in its glory. And then the home is sold. They get the highest price. It's not as expensive as people think. And we have a program where we can front the money to do the repairs. If the family doesn't have the funds up front, and then that just comes, it's reimbursed through the proceeds of the sale and everybody wins. It's just, it feels really good. And that's my favorite person to help is somebody in that situation, just because it feels so good at the end, you know, everyone's happy in a happy beginning.
That concierge service that you're talking about, like that extra, just going the extra mile, it helps maximize revenue for your clients. And then the children see what happened and they're like, oh my gosh, I want Valerie helping me when we're ready. And then you get those referral, I call introductions, that allow you to grow your business because you gave great service.
Yeah. I follow that. and it's something to be proud of as well. I will tell you a story because I want to help more people who are seniors or after someone's passed. I made a mistake. I got a lead from my title rep and it said someone had passed and it was in my neighborhood. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go down, knock on the door. And because these people need my help, I mean, I literally sincerely want to help them. So I knocked on the door, and normally when somebody passes, the house, they end up like nobody lives there anymore. It just seems like historically that's what it's been. So I knocked on the door to introduce myself, and the wife was there and her husband had just passed not too far back. Yeah. I felt so bad. I felt like an ambulance chaser, and that's not who I am. And so I thought, I tried it, you know, and that is not what I will ever do again. It's just, it's not me. And I work with senior communities, I do presentations, I do senior seller seminars, and that way people are coming to me and asking for help. And that's how I always do it from here forward.
Yeah, I think another thing that you shared a little bit about is like your community, like giving back to your community and bringing them together and connecting them. I think you said about concerts.
Yeah, so my mother was a school teacher. And two of my sisters are school teachers, and this will come back to the concert, I promise. And so working with schools and working with teachers is really important to me. And so I started in my community by putting on movie events for all of the middle school kids who got straight A's, because you have to, the movie theater will only hold so many people. So I had to pick a group of kids. So I picked the ones who got straight A's for them and their families. So then the children were proud that they got straight A's. They got to take their entire family to this movie event. Tons of fun. And then I expanded from there. And I have to give thanks to Glenda Baker, because she was on stage back in Palm Desert or in the Elite Retreat early days. And she, you know, gave out water bottles at all the sporting events. So I have my own water bottle. I've been giving it to the school, gosh, maybe 5-6 years now for all the athletic events. Nice. And then I've just continued to expand and give back to my community. Now I'm doing pop by little gifts for all of the school teachers in our community here. And then the last 2 years, we put on a community concert. So last year we had a zip code day. So our zip code is 92122. So September 21st of 22 last year was our zip code day. And so the community did a lot of different things. It wasn't just me, but I hired somebody to put on a concert. It was a blast. We gave out like ice cream treats to all the kids when they got out of school that day. So that was the beginning of the event. And then the celebration ended with the concert, and it was such a hit. We did the concert again this year. So it's just, it's fun to bring people together.
So when you do that, and I know you're doing it with this heart of giving, but like how does that come back to you as you like grow your business?
Yeah. So people will call me, and my daughter played field hockey. And so I had one client, you know, I know people in my community because I'm out there. And so they'll ask questions and about real estate, but people will call me and say, I know what you're doing in the schools. We want to work with you. And then we talk and I sell their house for them, and it feels really good. Or I'll go on a listing appointment, and if somebody doesn't have children, or they're older and out of the school system, we'll still talk about what's going on in the community. And then they're like, that's how I know you, you know, 'cause they get my postcards and that as well. So it makes it a lot of fun, and it feels good to give back. And also, you know, it's, when people hire me, like at the school, there's a big banner. It says that if you hire me, I'll give 5% back to the schools. So I think we've given and not everybody asked to contribute back to the school, but I think we've given like $37,000 to the school in just the last couple of years.
Nice.
That feels good too.
Yeah. Giving back and saying, and heavily invested in your community.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that a lot of us forget to do. You know,
when you give back, it just, you can't do it with the intention of receiving. You have to give from your heart, because otherwise it just doesn't work. Reciprocity doesn't work that way. It has to be like, everybody has to feel good about it.
Yeah. I mean, but it's been proven in my life and others that I've surrounded myself with, the givers are the biggest receivers. Not that you're looking for it, but my goodness, you get so much back.
Yeah. And you get back like, you know, confidence and just feeling good. And then when you're out talking to people, confidence comes through. People are attracted to that, and happiness, and right. It's just, what's the word? I can't think of the word.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm not going to, whatever that word is, like we know the feeling.
Contagious.
Right?
Contagious.
There contagious.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So Valerie, is there anything else that you want to share? And again, I want to give everybody an opportunity to connect with you on the cards. We'll do that here at the end, but anything else that you're doing that others can maybe help, like learn from you to grow their business?
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about giving back to the community, and I don't know if you've seen the Netflix series, Live to 100.
I didn't.
Yeah. 4 episodes. And I watched it, I don't know, a couple months ago. And I've really been wanting to connect the youth in our community with our elders. And in the documentary, it talks about, there's 4 things. So it's basically, the documentary is about the blue zones around the world and where there are more people who are over 100, living over 100. And so the guy doing the show, can't think straight right now, but he went around the world and he noted what was different in those communities. So one was, of course, diet and exercise. Community is huge, and having a purpose. And so after watching this and having, you know, my concert was coming up, I'm like, what can I do to connect our community even deeper? And so I wanted to give our elders purpose, because there's people who retire and then they kind of give up. And then there's people who retire and have all these things to do, and they still don't have enough time, right? But the people who want to contribute, we can connect those people with our youth and our community, and giving them a purpose. But then also we can have our, you know, in high school, a lot of the kids have to get volunteer hours, and there's people in the community who are out of high school who also want to give back. So I thought, what if we identify people that have a need, mm-hmm. and we can do acts of kindness? So I started that program literally a month ago. We had our first meeting. Our next meeting is coming up, and we're asking the block captains for if there's anybody in their specific street, if they know of anybody who needs a meal made or their lawn mowed, or maybe invited to Thanksgiving dinner, right? So that someone's not alone. And even lifting a big heavy box out of the closet. So things like that, that maybe it's just too much for one person, but it's an act of kindness that somebody can give. We can't take care of everybody in the sense that you're taking them to the grocery store every single week, yeah. but maybe somebody's sick that week and they need a little extra help, you know, like a helping hand. So that's something I have started. I'm not sure where it's going to go. It certainly takes a lot of time. And so that's something that I just created, and we call it Unite UC. UC is our community, University City. So, but just uniting the young and the old and everyone in between.
I love that idea. Again, your giving heart shines through massively when we're talking here, and you can definitely see it in your actions. So that's great. So let's talk a little bit about like how they can connect with Valerie to get a hold of the exactly what to say cards. Yeah.
So if you go to exactlywhattosay.com, there's a place on the website where you can order the cards, or you can also search exactly what to role play, but exactly what to say will get you there.
Exactly what to role play, the cards.
At Valerie Upham on Instagram, there's a link in the link tree to order the cards as well.
That's great. Well, Valerie, I'm super grateful that you got that we got the opportunity to hang out together today, and I learned so much from you, and I hope everybody will reach out to Valerie, follow her on Instagram, and connect with her on the cards. Again, if this resonated with you, please like, subscribe, comment, and Valerie Upham, grateful for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jack. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Being great.